In the name of the one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, one day, three men were walking along a violent, raging river. And they needed to get to the other side, but they had no idea of how to get across. So the first man prayed and said, "Please, God, give me the strength to get across this river." And God gave him strong arms and strong legs, and he was able to swim across the river in about 2 hours. Seeing this, the second man said, "Please, God, give me the strength and ability to cross the river." And God gave him a rowboat, and he was able to cross the river in about 1 hour. Third man saw how this worked, and he prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength, the ability, and the intelligence to cross the river." So God turned him into a woman, and she looked at the map and walked across the bridge. So what are we doing when we say our prayers? An extraordinary question, you say, but I ask because in this morning's epistle we have St. Paul making the rather startling statement that we do not pray as we ought. And this is a little peg upon which I can hang the whole question of prayer. So what are we doing, you and I, when we say our prayers? Well, let's start by thinking of a stage actor speaking to an audience. When the actor is on stage beneath those bright lights, he can only see the space in which he is standing. Beyond that, there is nothing but a great yawning darkness, which seems to be mere emptiness. But out in that darkness, we know, are real people. The people to whom the actor is speaking. And this, in a sense, is what prayer is. It is using our powers of speech and thought and will to put ourselves into the presence of the supernatural world. That world that looks all dark to us, but as we confess in the Creed every Sunday, is as real as the world that is visible. But there's an obvious difference. When the actor gets up and delivers his lines, he's telling the audience something that they didn't know. But when we say our prayers, we don't tell God anything new. Our sins are stale news to him, and he is already aware of everything we need. The unbeliever might say, "Well, there you are at prayer, telling God how grateful you are, how sorry you are for your sins, and how you desire that blessing or this blessing which God is able to give you. Why on earth would God expect all that bother? After all, he knows you better than you know yourself. If he sees that such and such a request is good for you, surely he'll give it without being asked." Well, we need to reply to that. You know, prayer doesn't simply mean asking for things. Of the Our Father, which is the model of all prayer, less than 50% of that prayer is petition. Prayer is, at its very heart, talking to God. Well, how does that work? When two human beings talk, there is a exchange of ideas. News is interchanged, with each person communicating something of his own likes and wants and needs, and the other person getting to know the speaker better, and vice versa. But in prayer, what exchange of ideas can there be? When I come away from prayer, do I know more about God than I did when my prayer began? And God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Is there anything new that I can tell him that he doesn't already know? Well, think of your everyday life. Sometimes the things which could go without saying have to be said. If your wife, for instance, gives you a present, there's no doubt in her mind that you are thankful, but you have to speak your gratitude out loud. And the same when you do something stupid. The other person probably knows that you're sorry, but good manners demand that you express your sorrow in words. So in this sense, talking to God is simple duty. But the reason we pray is far deeper than mere duty. Prayer is like anything else. It has to be practiced. It has to be learned. And the saints assure us that the more we pray, the more we will become proficient in prayer. And some people even get to the point in their prayer life when they can dispense with words and with even clearly articulated thoughts to simply rest in the presence of God. One saint, when asked what was going on when he sat praying before the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle in church every morning, said, "I look at him, and he looks at me." Who could say that this sort of prayer doesn't involve a profound exchange of ideas and a deeper knowledge of God? But most of us are not at this stage in our prayer life where we can simply sit quietly with God. So St. Paul is right. We do not pray as we ought. And I don't know about you, but when I pray, my prayer is full of memories and thoughts and distractions and daydreams, which constantly divert me from my task. And I used to be all upset about this. Have you ever tried not thinking about something? It doesn't work, does it? You just think about it all the more. But now I've learned that these thoughts which run through my mind as a natural accompaniment to prayer, they're like straw which float on the stream of my prayers. In our prayers, we might resolve to live a life that is more pleasing to God. Or we might pray for strength in a difficulty. Or we might hold up before God the needs of a friend or meditate on the life of a saint. And all the while, 100 other things are in our minds. Worry over our finances or our family or a rumbling tummy or whatever. But these are transformed like dust in a sunbeam. And these stray thoughts too are taken up to the throne of God. So prayer is talking to God, listening to God, turning away from the chatter of ordinary life and addressing ourselves to that unseen audience in the dark. But prayer is also asking for things. Because when we ask for things, we are acknowledging our utter dependence upon God. And prayer is not only something that we do, for God, in his wisdom, has connected various blessings in what manner or measure it is a great mystery, has attached blessings to our confidence and patience in prayer. Jesus tells us, "Ask and you shall receive." And he wants us to go to God like little children, unashamed to tell him what we have set our hearts upon, and with the conviction that our prayers will be answered, even if the answer is sometimes surprising or incomprehensible to us. If you remember one thing this morning, remember this, that the object of prayer is not to make God want what we want. Rather, it is to make us want what God wants. Prayer is not to make God want what we want. It is to make us want what God wants. For only in His will we find peace. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only